The Football Pod with Paddy and Andy.
We lost that championship game against Donegal. We didn't lose a game for 7 years after that. I tell you, we were angry after that game. Dublin came back, I remember, in 2015. It was, we're putting this right.
Download the OTB Sports app and subscribe to the GAA podcast feed now.
GAA on Off the Ball.
Final this Sunday between Dublin and Meath throws in at 4:15 at Croke Park. Dublin are going for their own five in a row, obviously. Meath are the massive outsiders, having just come up from intermediate. The Dubs team news today, Niamh Collins and Carla Rowe, who both missed out on the semi-final victory over Mayo through injury, are back. There's also a start for Sinead Goldrick, who's recovered from a fairly horrific sounding hamstring injury. Meath have named the same team that beat Cork in that epic finish in the All-Ireland football semi-final. I'm delighted to say two legends of the game are with us here to preview the match for us, ex-Cork star Breach Stack and former Mayo forward Cora Staunton. I started by talking about ex-Cork and ex-Mayo, but of course it's more accurate to say you're both current teammates, Cora. And I guess at this stage you're already beginning to look forward to next season?
Yeah, surely. Teammates now, which is great. I had too many years of trying to mark her, and it was a difficult, very difficult job. Yeah, so yeah, looking forward to pre-season. A little bit up in the air as in when we'll go back. The AFLW season was meant to start. Pre-season was actually meant to start this week, but it's been pushed back a month because of COVID, which means the season is pushed back a month as well. So the season was meant to be in December. It's now starting in January, so... Yeah, it gives myself and Stacky a bit more time at home, and it also gives us time to play a little bit of club championship here, which is good. We're still not really sure of a return date, but it'll be sometime kind of, we're thinking mid-October.
All the opposition clubs are really hoping that those dates get firmed up pretty quick to make sure you're not around for too long in the club championship, I'm sure, Cora. Before I get to Breach, can you tell us a little bit about, because I know that you were involved in scouting a little bit when you were asked if there was anybody you would recommend to Sydney. Why was Breed one of the names that you were kind of touting out fairly early on?
Jeez, I don't know if I'd say scout now. I could get in a little bit of trouble, but our coach in the Giants, obviously, with me being over at the Irish Guard over there, and then Yvonne Bonner obviously joined the year later. I suppose he always asked about Irish girls and you know, GAA players, and he was keen to get someone, obviously, with himself and Yvonne being forwards, he was keen to get someone in our defence and to shore up our defence. And yeah, we'd often chat just about Gaelic football, and he'd ask us who would, our the best defender that you've ever marked. And obviously, Stacky came up numerous times. And I think he said, "Would she have any interest?" And I think I might have texted her. And then I said that Al was interested. And I think they got in contact. I handed over numbers, and then Breed decided that she'd fall pregnant and have a baby. And I know he was trying to get her out even after she had the child pretty soon. So eventually I think Al convinced her to come out. And obviously, yeah, you know, the story would come out last year, and she came out last season. And yeah, really looking forward to playing with her this year. Obviously, the unfortunate injury of her breaking her neck, we didn't get to take the field together. So yeah, I'm hoping it'll happen sometime in January.
Why was she so hard to play against, Cora?
Oh, God. Just one of these markers that are, you know, very tight, tenacious. Obviously, done your homework. You know, she's just from watching her even in the AFL. And, you know, I would like to say she's a nerd of the game, you know, really looked at how you play. And, you know, obviously she was playing in a brilliant Cork team at the time, and who for, you know, a long part of my career were the team that, you know, we struggled to beat. And, you know, obviously with their 10 All-Irelands in 11 years, you know, was a massive, you know, team. And, you know, without doubt, the best ladies football team to ever play. So, yeah, just difficult, tight, tenacious, you know, very fit, strong. You know, I suppose in ladies football, for me, you don't really come up against many people that are physically strong as you, but she was certainly one. So yeah, it was just one of these contests that you'd go in every game whenever you played her, that you'd know it's going to be very, very difficult. And you know, a lot of the time she'd have got the better of me, and you know, wasn't too often that I got the better of her. So yeah, and I'm sure she'd say she had, you know, great defenders there, and Angela Walsh, Deirdre Riley, Geraldine Flynn, Breach Corkery. So if you did eventually get by Stacky, you had probably one of them coming at you. So yeah, they're just a brilliant team overall.
Yeah, Breach, sometimes we kind of take for granted Cora's standing in the game because she's been such a legend of the game for so long. But it'd be good to hear from you about what was so difficult about marking Cora and why you always ended up on her.
And like she said some very lovely things there, but like there's absolutely no denying that Cora's, you know, one of the all-time greatest lady footballer to ever grace the field. And I suppose what was so I suppose significant about her is like, yeah, like I suppose we had a great run and we were coming off the back, I suppose, of Mayo being a very, very successful team. So we always looked up to them as being, I suppose, the linchpins that we were trying to get over the line in. And we would have always seen them as being very physical. So we'd try to match, I suppose, their physicality and try to bring a bit of speed to the game as well. But I suppose early on, maybe Angela would have picked up Cora, maybe Rena. And then I suppose maybe from 2007 onwards, you know, myself and Cora might have been pitted against each other. So I suppose over time, we definitely got to know each other a lot. Thankfully, we became good enough all buddies at the end of it. But like I said, there's absolutely no denying how good a player she was. And I suppose, you know, the big thing was whenever we were playing them was kind of who was picking her up. And if whoever was picking her up, the other five were basically picking her up as well, like, you know, because she was very elusive. As I said, like, so strong, so physically strong, so skillful. And like, you could try to push her out to the sideline thinking of your job done, and then she'd just make a complete fool of you and kick an absolute boomer. So, you know, your work was never, ever done with her. You could never, ever take your eye off her. And, you know, she was a stalwart for Mayo football for many years, and, you know, is definitely a hero in Mayo to this day. I presume there's going to be a statue there somewhere, up around Castlebar somewhere.
In one way, Breed, it's not in any way surprising that at the end you have become mates and literally teammates down in Sydney. I don't know if you've heard any of the Paddy and Andy pod over the course of the summer, but Paddy Andrews did confess to having pure naked hatred at various stages for Mayo over the years. At what point did you guys, were you able to put away the enmity and begin to kind of respect each other's game? How long did that take, or like, did it literally take until you were kind of finishing up?
Yeah, I suppose like when we were coming on the scene, probably we were a young team that had never ever won anything at senior level. I suppose, you know, the first All-Ireland for Cork in 2005 was the first ever for Cork in ladies football. So it was huge to, I suppose, try to get on the scene. But like, Mayo were always the, I suppose, the queens of football. And I suppose you did fear them. You feared them physically and you feared their skill-wise. They were out-and-out footballers. And I suppose in 2007, we were pitted against each other in that All-Ireland final. And, you know, she's being very, very kind to me there, saying like that, that I got on top for in a couple of games. By God, like I said, you could never ever take your eye off her. And I knew that I had, you know, five quality backs around me. And I suppose, thankfully, as a unit, that Cork team didn't change its defensive line, you know, over a course maybe of 10 years. So we knew each other out and out. So, you know, when should they get past me? I knew that there was massive cover there, and you needed that trust in your back line against a player like her and a team like Mayo. And I suppose over the years as it evolved, I suppose probably our last match together would probably have been 2017 in the All-Ireland semi-final, where she certainly got the better of me that day. And, you know, I suppose it was the end of a Cork run. I suppose we won our last All-Ireland in 2016 and faltered in the semi-final in 2017. So I suppose to finish off that day, you know, Cora, as gracious as she always is, she came straight over to me and I suppose, you know, we embraced. And I suppose that was the thing. I have massive respect for her. I still have massive respect for her. And yeah, I suppose I encouraged her to definitely go on and win it. And sure enough, it didn't really work out that way. But, you know, she's just an out-and-out footballer, an out-and-out competitor. And, you know, to still be competing at such a high level, you know, after however many years is a real tribute to her.
Had you become mates before that, in between?
No, I suppose in the earlier days we wouldn't have probably crossed paths too much, only on the field. And I suppose on the field we wouldn't have been the best of buddies. But I suppose it always would have been just when we crossed the line. You know, we would have always gone at each other very fairly. But then I suppose outside of it, we probably would have met on an all-star trip, probably would have been our first kind of real meeting. And we became great buddies, I suppose, on that trip. The Cork girls and the Mayo girls kind of would be from fine culture backgrounds, and we kind of got on and kind of went from there. I suppose two of us were lucky enough to get on a couple of more all-star trips, and the friendship definitely developed and grew. But, you know, as soon as we crossed the line, it was definitely no talking about you know, where you're going on your holidays or anything like that. It was definitely out and out stuff. And I suppose that's a great sign of a competitive kind of rivalry going down many years.
Yeah, and I suppose that friendship was very important then over the last year that you did have in Sydney after the neck break, because you know you definitely need whatever support network you have when you're so far away from home and something like that happens.
Yeah, big time. And I suppose like I think it was only probably when I went away and I realized how much I needed my husband, my son and Cora, and when I was far away from home, that I really just had to take my hat off to Cora for, you know, what she did that first year in, you know, 2017 when she went over. Like, she went over not knowing anyone, without kind of a, I suppose she had her brother over there, but I suppose within the club she didn't know kind of too many people inside the club, maybe bar Al, the coach. So, you know, for her to go over and I suppose to immerse herself in something new, you know, it really, really takes, you know, she really, I suppose, is one to be applauded. And as I said, me going over this year, I had probably my husband and son going over there, so I was never kind of too lonely. And then to go into the club, I suppose I always thought Yvonne was going to be there as well, so I was going over to an environment that I already knew two people. And you know, Yvonne didn't end up traveling, but Cora, I'd say the second we went into the club, introduced me to absolutely everyone. She was so welcoming, so warm, and like told me everything what I needed to do. I suppose, you know, the setup in ladies football has definitely come on leaps and bounds in years, but you know, going back to when I finished up playing, you know, GPSs weren't involved, and I suppose stats and things like that were kind of just basic stats. They weren't, I suppose, all digitally kind of collected. So, you know, even Cora just, you know, showing me how to, you know, I needed to go over there, get your GPS, get your sports bra, and come over here, do your activation work. Like, she was really, really encouraging. And, you know, she didn't have to be as warm as that, but like, she, I suppose, really knew the importance of being so far away from home and how important it was to, I suppose, have support around you.
Yeah, and I'm sure she wanted you to take it easy on her in training as well, just so that she can look good for selection at the weekends.
She wanna watch out now, because, you know, I could be going back for big key forward now, like this year, you know, white boots and all job, like, so we'll see how things work out.
We're looking forward to that. Let's talk about the game of the weekend. I mean, obviously, I don't think anybody, Cora, really gives Meath too much of a chance outside of Meath, but certainly listening to the sounds from the camp, they're just on this kind of crazy ride where it has been success after success for them, where the whole county was embarrassed by what happened 4 years ago. We've talked about this 40-point defeat that they suffered at the hands of Cork when Ashling O'Reilly tells us there were texts going around in the morning of the game to try and get players to play for the team. And since then, they've gone and beaten Cork in an All-Ireland semi-final. So I hate that whole cliche, they've nothing to lose. But in this one instance, for a team that has literally come from the intermediate last season to be in an All-Ireland final against a team going for five in a row, there's not that much pressure on them, really. They should be able to go out and express themselves and enjoy themselves.
Yeah, for sure. I do think it's the one time that there's very little pressure on you, and you know, there's very low expectation on Meath. They're, you know, up against probably the second best ladies football team of all time, you know, going for five in a row. Behind that Cork team, and I'm sure they're in their back of their heads, they're going to want to emulate something like they did in their time. So yeah, there's no pressure on me there, and they certainly are riding the crest of a wave for probably the last 10 months. And, you know, we have to look back to their December All-Ireland final, which is under 10 months ago, when they won the intermediate and now are competing in their first senior All-Ireland. So yeah, it's been a massive 9 months for them, but it's also been a massive couple of years, really, since Eamon Murray came in 2017. He came in April 2017, and even since he's come in, everything has changed. You talk about their 40-point defeat to Cork in the qualifiers in 2015. They had a similar one in 16 to Westmeath's, something around the 30-point mark, and then Eamon Murray came in, and you know, he was begging players to come to training and just try it out for 2 weeks. And what he's achieved in his time in Meath has been phenomenal. You know, 2018, they got to their first intermediate final. They lost in 2019 into another intermediate final and obviously won it in 2020. So it's been amazing. And they've gone from being, you know, nearly relegated in 2017 to Division 4 to now competing in Division 1. So, you know, a huge credit has to go to him. You can see the way the team they play from. He has them very structured. You know, I was in Croker watching the Cork Meath game, and while it was frustrating as a spectator because it's, you know, a very defensive game and you know, it's not very exciting, he plays to their strengths, and I think he'll do something like that again on Sunday. You know, reading a couple of articles during the week, when you hear in ladies football, you know, Meath have obviously Eamon Murray as manager, and they have a coach, but they also have another guy that's known as their defensive coach. You know, things are probably changing a little bit. So, you give them a little bit of hope. You know, the only way I can equate it is back to, you know, Mayo's first All-Ireland back all the way back in 99. We played a Waterford team that were raging hot favourites, and we came in actually after beating Mead in a semi-final, and no one expected us to win anything. We were a team full of kids, and obviously I broke my collarbone the week before the game, and you know, there wasn't, the team were given no chance, and we went out and won that All-Ireland by a point. So it is possible, you know, everything is going to have to go right for Mead on the day, and Dublin are, you know, not going to have to play anywhere near their level. But yeah, anything is possible, and there's no pressure on them going into this game.
Yeah, so just let's talk a little bit about that, because if they are to pull off a massive underdog victory here, when you say everything needs to go right for them, what kind of thing is it? Is it then automatically a very low scoring game where it's a bit of a smash and grab? They try and keep Dublin to 1-8, 1-9, 1-10 maybe max?
Yeah, I think it's exactly like the way the Cork kind of game went. It was certainly a smash and grab. You know, Cork were 7 points up with 3 minutes to go, and you know, we're a goal up, I think, with 47 seconds left on the clock. So it's certainly going to have to be around that basis that, you know, it's a very low scoring game. You're going to have to keep them Dublin forwards quiet, which is, you know, it's not just one or two that you've keep quiet. Hannah Turrell, Lindsay David, Carol Arone, Eve McAvoy, you know, if she starts, Sinead Ahern, Siobhan Killeen, even their bench is very strong from a forward point of view. So, you know, that's going to be difficult. You know, I think their best bet is to, you know, play that probably defensive style, certainly for the opening period, and try to keep things as low as possible. Try and frustrate the Dubs, and, you know, don't give them, you know, what they like is plenty of possession and drive at the defence. So I think you have to do that. And I suppose, you know, when you're looking to how to analyse this match, if I was Eamon Murray, the one chink of hope is, if you looked at this Dublin team, especially against Donegal and in the quarterfinal and Mayo in the semi-final, they've got a little bit looser at the back. They've conceded two goals against Donegal and two against Mayo, and particularly the two against Mayo were very un-Dublin-like. They were, you know, kind of got caught. A lot of their defence got caught up the field, and were left. Their full back was left isolated. So that is one area that they might get at Dublin. You know, we hear that obviously Niamh Collins and Carol Rowe are starting. That was another area. If a few of these girls, you know, how fully fit they are, because there's rumours as well that Siobhan McGrath, there's an injury concern. So a lot depends on that. But it's certainly, yeah, keep it tight and catch them on the counter and maybe sneak a, you know, a goal or two. And yeah, I think that's the way Eamon Murray is going to have to play it.
Yeah, Breed, from Dublin's perspective, you obviously were on a team that was harvesting all Ireland's, and they're kind of in that cycle at the moment. But sometimes their least impressive performances have come on All-Ireland Final Day. Other times they've absolutely blistered on All-Ireland Final Day as well. So I'm not saying that there's a pattern there or there's any psychological frailty in this Dublin team, because there clearly isn't. But five in a row, it's obviously a big thing, and it will be talked about, and they are massive, massive favourites. So what's their mindset to make sure that complacency doesn't set in, and that somehow the occasion doesn't become something that, for whatever reason, gets to them?
Yeah, so I suppose, like, Mick Mohan, like, anytime you hear him speaking, he's always speaking about the performance. And anytime you hear players, I suppose, like Sinead Ahern and Carla Rowe speaking, they want to get this complete performance. And I suppose maybe throughout this championship, you know, they haven't put together a 100% complete performance, like Cora alluded to there. There was kind of touches where they got caught in the back against Donegal and against Mayo, and particularly against, I suppose, Donegal. You know, they were really kind of backs to the wall in the first couple of minutes, already going down 1-2. So, you know, I suppose the biggest thing is that they want to put together one complete performance. And I suppose even looking back to the All-Ireland final 2 years ago, they won't be happy with how, you know, it was a real just fall over the line job versus Galway. It was a dirty day in terms of weather wise, and I suppose wasn't a great spectacle of football. So against a team like Meath, against a team they probably don't know too much about, you know, they're just going to go all out. I can just imagine that, you know, they have so much strength and depth within that team, that, as I said, it'll be a case of a real complete performance from start to finish. They have always had the ability to change up, I suppose, their team. Over the last couple of years, they've probably not lost too many people. They've lost maybe Noelle Healy in the last year. But other than that, they've never lost a huge chunk of players. So, you know, a few questions, I suppose, might come into it over the next couple of years, when a few hard decisions might have to be made by some of their key players. And these key players, if they were to move on from this Dublin team, you know, you could see that, you know, this Dublin team could be vulnerable in the next couple of years. So they're definitely going to try to get as much out of this team as possible. I can imagine that, you know, five in a row, while it may not be spoke about, you do want to go down the history books. You do want to be seen as a great team. And, you know, they are that. So it's just a case of kind of get the job done on Sunday. And I would imagine that it will be maybe not an emphatic win, but I would imagine that they will do, you know, it will be a super performance and that they will drive it home.
So you do expect them to put in the performance that they're capable of, that they've kind of been hinting at this year, that actually the best has been saved for last, Breeze. Is that what I'm hearing you say?
Yeah, like I suppose even against Mayo in the semi-final, you know, they were always that 5-6 points over Mayo. And yeah, look, they got the two goals, and I can imagine that they've learned a lot from that. Niamh Collins was missing that day. She's back in, strengthened back up that defence. Sinead Goldrick back in. Like, they're two massive defenders to have back in your rear guard. And then to add up to your forward line, to Cara Rowe back in. Cara Rowe was missing the last day against Mayo. Caoimhe O'Connor came on and did a phenomenal job. So they are now going into final with even a stronger outfield, outfit. And I can just imagine that it's going to be a complete performance from start to finish from Mayo. They will not, or from Dublin, they will not leave any stone unturned.
Corey, if you're the Dubs, and I buy what Breach is saying, you want to get out there very early on and just assert to me that, look, this is an All-Ireland final. Sorry about this, but, you know, you're actually just for an intermediate team 9 months ago, and you're going to have to earn this. Essentially, you want to go out and punch them in the mouth the way the Kilkenny Hurlers would have done traditionally, two goals in the first 10 minutes. It's all well and good saying it, but what does that actually mean? How do they go about that? What's the killer instinct that you make sure that your team has when a half chance arrives?
I think with Mick, that Dublin team are so measured. You know, they don't do panic football. They're just, it's very, very much like the Dublin men play possession and wait for that opening, wait for the halfback or midfield to come through the middle. And, you know, they're such patient footballers. They play such a possession game. Yeah, they'll go out and, they'll think to themselves, you know, can we rattle this Meath team earlier on and put them on the back foot? And, you know, they'd hope maybe if they're inexperienced, then they might crumble. But, you know, I just, looking back at the Mayo game, you know, Mayo got 2-1 in the first half. That's what all they conceded. Yeah, the two goals were killers, and Mick Bohan won't be happy about that. But Dublin, I think, had maybe 10 to 12 points on the board very, very quickly. So they'll just do their simple football like they always do. You know, they won't be looking to get the killer punches of getting goals all the time. They'll just keep the scoreboard ticking over. And they do have the forwards up there. You know, Bree talked about, obviously, Noel Healy being one that's gone from last year. And you think to yourself, oh, you know, if you were a player for one of the opposition, that's great. That's one of their good players gone. But then they get in someone like Hannah Turrell, who's, you know, who I spoke about yesterday, who's possibly after coming back from playing international rugby for 6 years, who, when she was involved with Dublin, I think in 2014 was the last time, you know, she was sub-goalkeeper. And you have this person coming back now who's possibly, if she puts in another good performance on Sunday, who's possibly your player of the year, who's more than likely going to win an All-Star and has an All-Ireland medal in her pocket, coming back from a different code and hasn't played, you know, Gaelic football at a top level for 6 or 7 years, which, you know, is an amazing feat. They just have strength and depth. They always seem to be finding players. You know, as Breed spoke about, Caoimhe O'Connor stepped in the last day for Carter Rowe. She had a super game. Siobhan Killian has come over in the last few years from soccer. So they just have so many different players there. You know, I don't think they're going to go out the next day and try and blitz Meath in the first 10 minutes. I don't think that's Mick Bowen's style. I think they'll go out and play, you know, it's a cliche, but all teams are talking about, they'll go out and play it to their system. They'll keep the scoreboard ticking over. And Dublin are a team that within 10 minutes, you look at the scoreboard and it could be 5-2. And the next minute, it could be 12-2. And they've done that against Mayo. So they'll just stick to the process. Mick Bowen will make sure that, you know, all girls are ready for it. And, you know, there's going to be key battles right throughout the field. But I just look, at particularly at their midfield, I've been very impressed with Dublin's midfield all year. I think Jennifer Dunn in the last 2 to 3 years has turned into a super footballer, probably one of the best midfielders in the country at the moment. And Laura McGee has been there for a number of years with Dublin. And since she's come back to Australia, probably took her a little while to get going, but she's been phenomenal in the last few games. So around that middle, you know, third, with Siobhan McGrath, centre-back, Lindsay Davey, centre-forward, they just have too much quality there. So they'll just have a patient build up and just keep the scoreboard ticking over.
Okay, the way we're talking about it here, it sounds like it's going to be relatively straightforward. Breed, are you concerned that nobody's getting closer then to this Dublin team, even as they get on and even as like we're kind of waiting for their best players to step away before somebody will be able to close the gap?
Yeah, definitely. And I think it's probably been highlighted this year more so than ever when a team like Meath, not taking away from them, they've had an absolutely fairy tale year, but they've come up from intermediate and have, you know, come all the way through to an All-Ireland final. So massive questions and I suppose massive weaknesses are clearly on show in a lot of counties. So, you know, big questions must be asked about is their senior structures fit for purpose? Are their underage structures fit for purpose? Are the best players in the county making themselves available? You know, like, is there a good conveyor belt of underage coming through? I suppose, like, definitely questions will have to be asked to counties this year, and I suppose this year probably more so than ever when a team like Meath, as I said, have progressed this far.
So that's an indictment of the other counties as much as it is praise for Meath, because obviously they have got their house in order, so
yeah,
everybody else needs to look at themselves.
Yeah, big time. And I suppose, like, the fantastic story about Meath is, like, that they parked all egos and all agendas back in 2016. When there was clearly a downward spiral happening in Meath senior football. Cora spoke about in 2015 when, you know, I suppose we played them in, you know, in a quarterfinal game, and, you know, it was a 40-point win for Cork, like, you know, so that was no good to us, it was no good to them. And I suppose it definitely highlighted the downward spiral that Meath football was going through. And no doubt there was a lot of very, very hard decisions made there and a lot of hard calls. I suppose there was always very much a pride in Meath football playing senior, and they always would have been a dogged outfit. But I suppose came to the conclusion that, look, maybe it was time to regrade and start the rebuilding process. They had good underage coming through. They had men like Eamon Murray, who had been involved at Meath football for 17 years, who, you know, was going to be in a position to take on the adult team. And like, what a story it has been. Like I said, parking egos and developing from the ground up, building, taking defeats. They've taken two All-Ireland final defeats in Croke Park already. They know how to lose there, but they also have massive experience there. And I think even the semi-final against Cork will really stand to them in terms of, I suppose, I did feel that they were very tentative at the start of the Cork game. And I would imagine that they will be like that as well in the Dublin game. I would just hope that they wouldn't, recoil into themselves as much as they did during that first half against Cork. They need players like Vicky Wall on the ball. They need Emma Troy bursting up the field. And I suppose, you know, given that Dublin have seemed to be having a high free count at the moment, you would definitely see that, you know, their forwards need to be running hard at the Dublin defence.
Okay. There's lots to get stuck into there. Before we go, though, it sounds like you're both predicting a Dublin win by about 5 or 6 points. You've already said that, Bree. Is that what you're getting at, Cora, as well?
Yeah, I don't see anything but a Dublin win. I just think they have too much quality. And then, yeah, you see the team news with Niamh Collins being back, Carter Rowe and Sinead Goldrick starting. Your only glimmer of hope is that they wouldn't be fit to play. So, yeah, I just don't see anything. They have too much quality in the first 15 and coming off the bench. You know, I do think Meath will give a good account to themselves. And as I said earlier, possibly the only way is to play that defensive style football for quite a while. But, you know, if Dublin do get on top early days or even around half time and are, you know, 6-7 points up, then, you know, a Meath team are going to have to come out and play. So, you know, that can leave them even more vulnerable. But yeah, I cannot see anything but a Dublin victory.
Okay.
And I think everyone is excited to see how Meath go toe-to-toe with them and for how long they go toe-to-toe with them as well. It's going to be a real gauge for Meath themselves, you know, going forward. So it's going to be, I suppose, it's a novel pairing.
Well, look, everybody says they've nothing to lose. So you really hope that they don't recoil into themselves in that first half, as you've said, Breach, because this is their chance to go and land something, see what happens. And, you know, the craziness of games, there's a sending off, there's a penalty, there's who knows what happens. And All Ireland finals are made to be won. Cora, before we go, I should ask you about the level of madness in Mayo at the moment. And is it all confidence this week? Does the fear set in next week and then build back up to confidence? What's that dynamic like?
Yeah, it's been a bit of a strange time actually since their victory over Dublin in the semi final. I suppose certainly the week after the semi final, everyone was on a high and there was a lot of football talked and, you know, a lot of more flags and stuff put out. And then the second week, you know, things kind of died down. And it's only really started to build back up in kind of the last few days. I think, you know, since we've known our opponents obviously are going to be Tyrone, and obviously Kerry are gone, and yeah, it's starting to build up here. Yeah, certainly. Tickets are a big thing. You don't even nearly want to leave the house at stages. People do think I must have a ticket machine in the back of my car, because everywhere you go, they're looking for tickets. So that's probably the biggest thing. Yeah, I suppose that next week, I think, yeah, that little bit of anxiety and fear and nervousness starts to kick in, certainly. But, you know, James Horan has the guys well away from all of that. And yeah, by all accounts, they're training well, and they're out of the county last weekend. So, yeah, looking forward to, you know, Mayo Tyrone and All-Ireland final. Who'd have thought at the start of the year? You know, it's going to be, you know, so exciting. It's going to be a brilliant final. And yeah, just really looking forward to it.
It's not that we don't know what Tyrone are going to do. We do. It's just that what they are going to do is a bit chaotic. And so therefore, it's kind of harder to plan for. Is that the feeling in Mayo, that would actually have been easier for us all to understand exactly what the challenge that Kerry were going to bring? Essentially, you close down the Cliffords and make sure Sean O'Shea doesn't run riot, and that's 9/10 of the battle won.
Yeah, I think that was probably the biggest text message that came in, or towards the end of the game, the Kerry Tyrone game the last day, was, oh, is this better for Mayo that Tyrone will win? And yeah, you don't really know. There's no answer to it. Yeah, I think the chaotic style they play, but also their style of play. I think Mayo at times play a very chaotic style of football too. It will be something different that we're used to if it was going to be Kerry and shut down, you know, their major forwards. But you just don't know with Tyrone, the way they played Kerry and pressed them so high up the middle, and you know, didn't let them get that kick passing game going at all. At times Kerry got the running game going, but Tyrone were able to stifle it. Are Mayo better at the running game than Kerry? I think they are. And they've probably more quality coming from that kind of defensive midfield area. So, yeah, it's going to be amazing. You know, even thinking the matchups, who'll mark, you know, where Leighton O'Shea play, you know, who'll mark who? Will Oisín Mullan be fit? Will Owen McLaughlin get back from that, you know, really bad injury? You know, there's talks of all of that. So, you know, it's going to be, that's the really enjoyable part in the build-up in the next kind of 8-9 days. So, yeah, as I said, really looking forward to it. Yeah, Tyrone are going to be a different outfit. And, you know, James Horan, I'm sure, has already been, since the game, has been plotting along with Kieran MacDonald for what they're doing. But, yeah, to us, it's probably, you know, everyone stay fit. You know, obviously there's concerns, I said, around would Owen McLaughlin get back. You know, people are saying there's no chance. You know, there's different view down here about that. Oisín Mullan, you know, what level of fitness he's at. You know, there's doubts over one or two more. So Brendan Harrison is back. He's meant to be flying. So it'll be even interesting to see what Mayo team will take the field. And will the 4-week break that Mayo have had, comparing to the 2-week break that Tyrone have, will that benefit Mayo or will it benefit Tyrone? You know, I think it'll benefit Mayo. But yeah, it's all questions that won't be answered until, you know, Saturday evening next.
Until throw-in as well. Listen, great stuff. Enjoy Sunday first, and then we can talk a bit more about that in the aftermath and preview next week. And obviously, best of luck with the trip back down to Australia whenever it comes to both you. Breachstack and Cora Staunton, thanks a million for joining us this afternoon. Cheers. Just a reminder that episode 17 of the Football Pod with Paddy and Andy is available first every Tuesday on the OTB Sports app, and then on Wednesday, obviously, you'll get it wherever you get your podcasts. The two lads have done a deep dive into how Tyrone took Kerry down. So if you want a bit more of that analysis, you'll get it there. And then obviously next Tuesday, it will be talking matchups, who should be running from deep, who should mark out O'Shea, whether or not he's going to start. He will, spoiler. And the latest rumours about, I don't think many people had thought about McLaughlin there until Cora said it, but the rumours are McLaughlin will make it. Oisín Mullan's still a serious doubt for the final. That's what you would expect from a quad injury, but keep everybody guessing. Whatever you say nothing. Loads more content from Paddy and Andy ahead of the final as well, so do yourself a favour, download the OTB Sports app and subscribe to all our GAA content.
GAA on Off the Ball.